Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dota Underlords podcast, episode 8, now every other Friday. Suns fan here with the great Swim, with the great Zeno. How are you fellows doing this great evening on the other Friday?
That's a lot of greats. Not bad.
I'm all right. Just chilling.
That's great to hear. So this will probably get you in a little bit better of a mood here. I'm going to read off a couple reviews that we got last week. Absolutely. Aww. First one is from Matt Damon, who says, "Thank you, Suns fan. I win every game because of Aegis." And then a few minutes later, apparently somebody else posted a 5-star review saying, "Thank you, Swim. Wish we could kill the Aegis debate, but it keeps coming back. I win every game because of chainmail." So sounds like the community is quite split as well on this.
Kind of sad the guy didn't make like a new account and just call it Ben Affleck so we could have like the full,
I know.
Full back and forth. But
that is true.
Oh, well.
So I have a theory, and I talked about this with Suns fan. That would be weird, but with Zeno, because I got Lord recently, Swim. We haven't even talked since then. And
no, we have not.
I literally would not have gotten it several times, like in terms of top three placements, if it wasn't for Aegis. Now, here's the thing, though. This is what I've come to realize. I think it's less about whether the item is good or bad, and more about if it fits your play style. Because the way that I play, it really fits it to the point, because I'm getting, like, I become very greedy towards the end of the game. And if I didn't have Aegis and I play like that, I would get like eighth place every single time. You know what I mean? So I think it's more personal preference than it is good versus bad. Does that make any sense to you? Do you agree at all?
No.
Okay.
I mean, if you pick an item that gives you more than 15 health, then you'll have more than 15 health and you can greed even further, right?
Yeah, but how can you quantify what gives you 15
health? It's like listening to our exact conversation over
and
over.
I can guarantee you chainmail on 2 or 3 will give you more than 15 health. Just buy one and track it.
One chainmail will get you 15 health by the end of the game. That's right. What you're saying.
Buy one and track what it does in fights.
I'm hoping you're remembering our conversation about this exact topic and that this went literally the exact same way. I'm pretty sure that the exact same health totals brought up as well. So I don't know, dude. You're going to have to. This right, isn't your audience fine. If you're going to make the Aegis fly. I mean, you're a Lord now, and I'm not, so there you are.
Yeah, wait, but you're not Lord, Zeno?
No, I'm
Zeno,
garbage.
You're lower ranked than Sunspin.
I am. Well, you have I'm no also idea, actually, how much shame that brought me for a brief moment in time.
Zeno.
In my defense, it's been very busy. We just bought a house, so it's been busy times. But I've hopped back on the bandwagon. I lost like 4 games in a row, but I've been playing a bunch. Slowly climbing back up. Got a first place right before this podcast, so give it. Next podcast, I will be Lord. That is my...
I will say I have played a lot more than Zeno, Swim. And
that's true.
Okay, this is what happened. I'll just tell this story and then we can move on. I was stuck at like Big Boss 3 / Big Boss 4 for over a month, like the Wii Play tournament. That's so far back. I was like Big Boss 4 back then. Then every time these big patches come, I have to relearn everything because this is a new genre for me, so I don't pick it up as easily as other people, right? So same. Finally, like a couple weeks ago, I get Big Boss 5 and I'm stuck there for like 10 days. And I have to tell you, it's the most frustrating time I've ever had playing. It's not like it's the game. It's more I'm frustrated at myself because I'm making stupid mistakes and I'm veering away from things that I'm more comfortable with. And I just realized a few things, and Nikki helped me with this. Don't rage. You have to be very positive, Swim. So I was very positive. I wasn't raging. And I just picked strats that I was comfortable with and less so what... like worrying less about what other people were playing, you know? And the other thing that helped me a lot was I would always get really ragey at the beginning of the game when I was like Big Boss 4 and I'd have the entire list. Everyone is Lord and then me as Big Boss 4. I realized that a lot of these Lords are actually garbage. Honestly, right. They're really bad. So I started to realize that pretty quick and it did help me in my games. So
you're saying positivity is the key to success.
I had a positive outlook. Yeah.
All right. Wow.
So before we get into this week's update and future things to come, did you guys want to talk about the current meta at all? Because I know we got a couple
absolutely.
People that were wanting us to talk about that. So please.
Oh, I'm absolutely down. You know, I'm a big meta discusser. I'm curious, since obviously, you know, we do these like after patches. We had a pretty big patch yesterday. It didn't end up changing very much in terms of like amount of lines, but I think it's a really big meta shift. The transfer from 4 cost odds into 3 cost odds effectively NIRF's good stuff down probably an entire tier, and all the actual like roll value builds, these being like the 3-star builds, feel back again. So it's a good meta diversity, honestly. The game's a...
Hello? Did you... Hello? You just broke up horribly for me.
Blew out. Oh, that's really
blew
strange.
You blew out your mic temporarily. Continue, please, Swim.
That's... What did we
miss? Feel like that was like right at the final, like the apex of this whole thing.
I was just saying
everything was coming to a head.
The meta's in a good state right now, basically.
It almost feels like a merger, right? Of like this, right before this last patch, you had good stuff, and then, you know, before that, you kind of had, get to 7 or 8 roll for 3-stars and all that, and now they're kind of both viable. Yeah. More so than before. So as you said, like, you have so many different branches or directions you can go now, that at least I've only played a few games on this last patch, but it seems like there's a lot of viable options right now.
Yeah.
Very helpful. I had personally, I don't know how far different this is from your level, Swim, but I'm going to tell you what I played. I started spamming like 3 strats to get to Lord. Okay. So, like, the one I didn't want to play, but sometimes I just did it because it was all the units were coming to me, is just knights. I mean, I think that's pretty... I know there's like somebody in the top 20 that literally only plays knights. I don't know how that's possible, but that is a thing. Second was Primordial Mage. I was spamming that a lot. And then the number one strat I was having success with was Scrappy Assassin. That strat... And you could substitute Assassin for Mage if it just makes more sense that game. But they felt really strong. What do you think about Scrappies right now? At your level.
They're okay. So for the past 3 weeks, the meta has been dominated by a tier 0 strategy called Good Stuff, which is 3 warrior, 4 warlock, 2 troll, 2 shaman, 2 scaled effectively, playing for like an early win streak. Basically, like, every top lord player has agreed the strategy outranks all of the others by a really wide margin. And that's basically like what we're talking about. That's gotten nerfed. So now suddenly these other strategies that felt like they were all just like tier 2 compared to like Good Stuff feel like they're coming back up again. Scrappies is something I actually need to try a bit more. They're doing pretty well right now. Like, the Scrappy Ace, like the Techies Ace, is starting to shine. I think they're probably going to be tier 2. Not super high good. Not super top tier, but pretty good.
Yeah, when we first talked about the Techies Ace introduction of Chain Reaction, we thought it was like, it could be okay. Maybe it's a little bit overrated because it sounds really good. It's fucking really good. I think it's game changing. That's one of those top ace units. On this one. Really?
Here's one thing I'll say in your favor. I'm not a big fan of the zombie tower. I can't think of exactly what it's called. It feels really, really good. One thing it's not really good against is Scrappies with Techies. I went this my last game, just before we played, and man, if one of those zombies dies, like, that chain reaction literally annihilates your entire board within like the radius of the tombstone. It is actually crazy. But other than that, I don't know. It's not very exciting for me. But
I mean, I think Disruptor is still the best ace, I want to say. Enigma got a lot of changes. But in terms of like the ace effect, is Troll the worst one? The mini stun?
Troll has been very, very good for the past few weeks. But just the ace effect. It had a combination with... No, the Ace Effect. The Ace Effect has been part of the Good Stuff build for the past 2 weeks. Because when they changed Enigma so that Enigma was draining mana on stunned units, the Troll Mini Bash would happen before the stun or before the mana drain check. So every attack that was mini bashing would drain mana. And it was super powerful. But now that they nerfed Enigma, that's one of the big things in this update. Enigma's Ace Effect got almost eliminated. Suddenly Troll has kind of like lost his partner, right?
Yeah, let's just briefly go over what they actually changed. You talked about the tier 4 units being changed from reducing the chance by 5% at level 6 through 8. So that changes the good stuff strat that you're talking about quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Arc Warden was slightly nerfed. But yeah, the Ace Effect for Enigma. So now prevents gaining mana from attacks when hexed, silenced, stunned instead of draining it. How good was it before? It felt like it was just when it went off, it's just you just win, right?
You run it in every late game board should be running Enigma plus Troll or it loses. And that's how it's been for the past 2 weeks. But Now it's really bad. The biggest difference is now suddenly it's not just all damage, it's only auto attack damage. So stuff like Tidehunter's Ravage won't be even draining mana. Like that damage will still charge mana because it's not auto attack damage.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah. And like another way to look at it too is like that Enigma Ace ability was basically like a buff to so many good units on the board with like Suns and Hexes and stuff like that, that it synergized with so much good stuff in such a good way before that now that it's nerfed, it's almost like a nerf across the board to all those different things. So it's not just like, oh, we've nerfed Enigma. It's like, oh, now we've nerfed, going crazy with like human synergy and all these different things like that. So it is a pretty big shift.
Going over some of the other changes that were applied. I don't think it's an actual change. This is just wordage, right? For the Ace effect for Disruptor, the effect of the Warlock Alliance is now applied to one target per alliance level. That's how it was before, right?
No. So how it works now, it used to be that if you have the Disruptor Ace, it means that you have a pair of lifelinks. Your Warlock lifelinks to two units when it casts. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have four Warlocks, it's the same because tier two Warlock means you're getting two lifelinks. But if you only have a pair of Warlocks or two or three Warlocks, the Disruptor Ace doesn't activate at all. It's still one lifelink. And if you have six Warlocks or tier three, you're lifelinking to three units instead of two. Oh, so it's basically a nerf to pair and a buff to six of. But okay. four Warlocks is the same. That's true.
Okay, so two Warlocks is this. So this is a direct nerf for two, which a lot of cases, a lot of people would end up with two Warlocks just as a throw-in because it was so powerful, right?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay, and then also the Warlock Alliance was changed in terms of the healing from 50, 80, 130 to 50, 70, 100. So direct nerf there. And then Assassin Alliance on critical strike, assassins wound the target, reducing healing done by 50% or 100%, depending on how many assassins you have. This was bugged to where they wouldn't crit at all. I think they fixed it though. Have you seen this in effect though? I don't know if it's even noticeable with three assassins especially.
Yeah, it probably doesn't change much at all. I think three assassins is definitely the way you want to play assassins if you're playing assassins. Six has probably never been worse right now. But I mean, it does actually make a little bit of a difference. It makes three assassins a little bit better.
That's not technically true. Six assassins was worse before this patch, Swim, because they couldn't stop.
It depends how you look at it. I would say it's worse right now.
With a buff, technically, it's worse.
Yeah. So this is something I was explaining to my stream a little bit earlier, which is very counterintuitive. Basically, if you look 2 weeks ago, three assassins got buffed big by 50% DPS, and six assassins got buffed by 25% DPS. And these two builds are kind of in direct competition with one another. Like, you always have to choose between one or the other. So three assassins getting buffed by even more means there's less reason than ever to go six assassins. Hmm. But yeah, the number on it is higher, but there's just no reason to do it.
Here's my one question for you, and I really haven't thought this out very much. But, you know, with things like four Warlocks being more viable and pretty common in, like, a lot of late-game builds, and with six assassins, you're hopefully distributing those hits, you know, maybe to three or four units, like we'll just say. The minus 100% heal, because like 50% heal against Warlocks doesn't matter half the time because they do so much damage in a burst. Like every once in a while, you're just getting full health or a lot of health really fast. But is that 100% actually okay, or is it just not good enough to ever run six assassins, basically? Is that the conclusion we're coming to?
I think it doesn't help six assassins case at all.
Okay.
So what I want to talk about, which will take up the bulk of this episode, is this quote unquote big update that's going to be coming out in mid October. So the first half of October, there will be the big update coming, which they've been working on for quite a while. So it's going to come with two playable underlords, which we have yet to see any of and exactly what they do. Duos team mode, six new heroes, three new alliances, and an updated UI. That's a lot of shit. Let's go through each one briefly and theorycraft if you guys want to have some fun with this. Well, the two playable underlords, can we talk about that? I don't know anything about it, so we can just...
I feel like we've already guessed around that last time.
There was a screenshot, right?
Oh.
Anessix. Yeah. What is that? So you can pick an underlord. It's on the screen. They changed the splash screen, as it were, the dashboard. And it's underneath a Nessix. It says turf control 20 out of 36. 28 out of 36. What the hell does that mean? Turf control?
Oh, are they going to like have terrain modifiers? That'd be amazing.
Swim, do you have any idea what this means?
That'll be my guess.
I know there's a dog barking in the background, so Swim is trying to buy as much time as possible. But she does look pretty sick. She looks like... Oh, that's a cape that she's wearing, isn't it? What is that around her shoulders? It's not wings. At first, I was like, she's kind of quap-like. She has the horns, but not quite a succubus. Looks like a cool character, though. Looking forward to see what exactly the underlords actually do. So let's move on to the six new heroes, Zeno, as Swim has exited the podcast temporarily.
Yeah, we always got to kick someone off, you know, during our podcast.
Who do you want to see,
a couple episodes ago.
Let's get a list here.
As far as heroes?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Puppet Master, that's for sure.
Wow. I would love to see Puppet Master. Don't get me wrong, but tells me that's not happening.
That's a good question, and I don't want to just go and list like all the heroes I play from Dota. One, because it's a very small list right now, but I'm trying to think of like what would be fun for... adapting how the game's actually played.
How about Io? And, do you guys like the idea of Io from Auto Chess?
Just have like a wild card?
Yeah, a wild card that costs 5 but doesn't have the same rarities as the ace units that combine.
I always like that, generally speaking. I thought that was a really good addition to the game. I'm wondering how that would fit into the current Underlords meta, but I wouldn't mind seeing something like that. Like something like a Phoenix or something like that. You could probably do some fun things.
Where it turns into an egg and you have to kill the egg.
Either like the egg or like the, oh no, this is going to really show the my dive. Current Dota knowledge. The, the laser beam type thing.
Sunray.
Sunray. There we go. I feel like positioning stuff like that would be kind of fun.
I mean, come on. You can't put Phoenix in without doing the egg. That's such a cool idea.
All right. Things like where you're buffing other units, like, Magnus, you could do like Empower, like different stuff like that. So maybe some like different dynamics for like making positioning more important for, buffing and debuffing units, I think would be pretty cool.
Swim, any heroes that come to mind for
Rubick.
You?
Rubick. If there was some, I'm not sure how Spell Steal could be implemented into the game, but I think it's a really cool idea.
What if they put Rubick in and it was just Fade Bolt?
I'd be pissed.
Is there a point in putting him in if you're just going to put Fade Bolt, is the question.
No, it's just like one random ability. I mean, it's just a generic zap, pretty much.
I would personally love to see Pangolier. You could do a cool thing with Swashbuckle, like items like Maelstrom become like God tier, or you can just do the Rolling Thunder, just turn into a fucking ball. That would be sick. The other ones, Heart Piercer, or whatever it's called now, not so much. Shield Crash, not so much. Although that one, Shield Crash could work in this game as well. Yeah, there's a lot of cool heroes that they can do stuff with. I'm very interested to see what they actually end up doing.
Is there a hero that you absolutely hate playing, but you would love to see in Underlords?
There's a lot of heroes I don't like to play. I mean, I'll just go
not,
to the
not just because of
section.
Like difficulty, but like heroes that you can play but you hate playing.
That I can play. I mean, I can play any hero, Zeno.
Mm-hmm. I've seen you play support.
I would put like this is fits my playstyle, but Bat Rider's in the game already. Ancient Apparition, stopping healing completely with Ice Blast. But that's a hero I don't like to play in Dota, but it could be a cool concept in Underlords.
I've got one.
Give it to me.
Did you guys see the Reddit post about Invoker potentially getting added?
That would be cool.
Like an idea. So the Reddit post, and credit to, I don't know, the poster.
Credit
this is not my idea.
Yeah.
This is not my idea, but I think it's really cool. The idea is he's some random 2-cost unit. So there's 30 of each 2-cost in the pool, right? But with Invoker, there would be 10 different ones. Three different ones. There's 10 Quas Invokers, 10 Expert Invokers, and 10 Wex Enforcers. or invokers, right. And then when you level them to level 2, they get the spell based on what combination you use, right?
That would be,
so the level 2 invoker really cool. gets that combination, gets that spell. And then there was a thing where like the level 3 invoker would be able to cast like, you know, all 3 of the spells that were like used to create him or something like that. There's different ways of doing that, but I think that's a really cool idea. I actually love that idea.
So here's the thing. Amazing idea. That puts the, I feel like that makes it so much harder for casuals. Like that is a very difficult concept to master. Like Invoker himself is like, he's crazy. If you guys don't know, he has how many spells? It's like
10.
10, not including like his quas, like his invoke and whatever. But yeah. That hero is absurd. Like the ideas you can come up with is really cool. Like Rubick is a similar idea. It's not on the same level, obviously, but like how do you do spell steal? I don't know. The first hero that casts something and then when you have enough mana, you steal it. That very RNG, but it could work. Like that could have some big effects.
Or it could be like the closest enemy or something to allow for like positional. Or there's a few ways to do it.
Frontline Rubick is what you're saying.
I mean, who knows? Who knows?
That's cool.
I mean, I think there's more of the code in place to do something like that with Rubick than there would be to do the Invoker thing. Like the Rubick thing at least seems feasible, right? Like that doesn't seem too hard to implement.
Here I would not like to see is Meepo, because Arc Warden's in the game and that's basically Meepo in auto chess, isn't it? In Underlords. Just getting a clone of yourself doesn't sound like that would be fun at all. Phantom Lancer, kind of same idea. There's a lot of cool ones, and obviously they don't even have to keep the skills the same. Is there a you think they're ever going to add heroes that just aren't in Dota? I don't think so. I think they would always, maybe artifact heroes?
Artifact heroes, Sans Fan. You couldn't have forgotten about those, could you have?
You're breaking up. Did you say artifact?
Yeah, artifact heroes.
Sor Lakan?
Yeah, Kana.
Yeah.
Prelix.
I would love to see it.
Whatever else is an artifact? Rix?
not Rix. Never Rix, please. I'm begging
you. I feel like they're gonna want to distance this game from maybe the artifact beginnings.
It's just a hero. It's not a big
deal. I mean... Yeah, it's just the heroes, you know. They already have the design. They have the art.
All right, so they're coming out with 6 new heroes during this update. They're coming out with 3 new alliances. Does this mean that they're going to be taking stuff out, you think? Or are they just literally adding stuff on top?
Oh, sorry. So what this means with 6 new heroes and 3 new alliances, obviously they can't just have those heroes be the new alliances. I think that this is a pretty clear indication that they're going to be repurposing heroes that are already in the game as part of like these new alliances they're adding. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, there was a Reddit suggestion that they could have like this crawler alliance for Broodmother, Weaver, Nyx, and Sand King. And in that case, like they just make Sand King, who's already in the game, a different alliance.
Would they add it as a third alliance for him? Or would it replace the second alliance that he has?
It would probably replace like Savage, but honestly, that's kind of up to them. It's probably a case-by-case basis.
Do you think that makes it too complicated? Because the way that I was thinking about it, and I was fine. Like again, I always look at like the casual perspective. Because let's not kid ourselves. Yeah. This is a casual game at its base. If you're bringing in new heroes, I just assume that they would get rid of certain heroes temporarily out of the pool instead of changing things within the heroes. Season, right? Well, in theory, yes. But if he's talking about changing alliances of heroes already just to fit. Like I can see you adding like a third alliance to Sand King, but getting rid of like Savage after all this time there's a certain point, because they're coming out with season 1 soon. I think they're going to stop doing like crazy updates is my assumption.
Yeah.
Because it feels like a little too much for the casual to kind of keep track of. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. But like this seems like the time where they're going to try and make as many like wholesale changes as they can in preparation for that. Right. So if they feel like they need to tweak alliances, like now's the time to do it, not later.
Is there any?
So I do think we might see something like that.
Is there any alliance idea that you guys have that would be cool? Is there anything like that they're missing mechanic wise from Dota that they could bring over as an alliance idea?
So I'm not sure about alliances, and maybe Zeno can answer your question in regards to alliances.
I'm talking again.
Oh, that's weird. Sorry. I don't. I spent a lot of time.
I can actually hear him. Anyway, sorry.
I spent a lot of time theory crafting what the Underlords could and should do. And I think probably the best thing is to have certain Underlords that you can kind of pick from the beginning. Like one Underlord could enable like a sort of more draft style playstyle. and another could be more for constructed. So like, for example, the constructed sort of type underlord is more geared around towards rerolls or something like that, like being able to make it more likely to find what you're looking for. Some people have suggested like increased probability based on how many you have of the unit. If the numbers are low enough, that kind of thing is fine. Whereas like a drafter type style underlord would maybe allow you to give you a bonus if you had like less amounts of alliances, or it could possibly do something like change a unit's alliance, like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. One interesting thing about the underlords is we do know they're going to have like, we did a bit of data mining and there is going to be some kind of like talent tree system. So you are going to be able to somewhat customize what they do individually.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Interesting.
Do you know what the turf control means?
No, I assume that's part of the city crawl feature. It's like your progress during crawl or something like that. But yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay. So let's finish this and then we'll talk about the final update as it were. Duo team mode. How do you guys think this would work? So you team up with somebody. I'm pretty sure I read that this is not the same as turbo mode. Is that correct?
Yes.
Turbo mode will be a later thing that they're trying to like experiment with, and they just don't want to make it like a shorter version of Underlord. So they're going to make it more unique, I guess you could say. So what do you guys have envisioned for duo mode?
So duo mode in the Drota version of Auto Chess is effectively, to my knowledge, it's basically like you're both playing with different health pools, different banks, different boards, but what you are sharing is a bench, right? Mm. So you kind of have one big shared bench and you can kind of pass units to each other effectively given that. So the idea is you want to kind of like go for different builds, that two different builds that use none of the same units, which is interesting. But furthermore, I think it could lead to even a bit of like a support carry kind of dynamic, which I think would be really cool if something like that emerged.
And do you both then, like, do you go battle independent single opponents, or is it like a big giant 8x16 board, or how does that work?
I assume the battles would be independent, but honestly, I mean, there's definitely room for Underlord interesting ways of making this work. Yeah, I mean, that's all up in the air.
That would be very cool. I like that idea a lot. Is that from Reddit?
It was like
a unique idea. Swim?
No. That's basically how it worked in Auto Chess. Yeah, okay. More or less.
And I think there's like a lot of cool things they can do. And like, honestly, I was even thinking about this, like playing this game like with another person in partnership is like a very different experience. Like it's almost like a co-op sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of opens it up to people, you know, not only just being able to enjoy the game more and more of like a fun casual environment, but like it enables you to kind of bring in your friends and play with them in a little bit more of a direct manner, where you're not in competition, but you're kind of like trying to help them out a little bit, and sort of you're able to walk people through the ropes like while you're playing with them. So I think from that aspect too, it's like it seems like a fun way to get people involved in the game. So I'm really excited about it.
I think there's a legitimate chance this could actually be like almost as popular as single player mode.
Oh, I agree.
That's the same thing. That would be big.
That's the main thing missing from this game is the social aspect, because it's a free for all 1v7, you know? So I could definitely see that, like you're saying. They also said they're going to be updating the UI, which whatever that means. But I think, do you guys have an issue with the AI? The UI, the only thing I have an issue with is still like the gold and levels, and everything is just so far apart. Other than that, I'm pretty used to everything. I feel like nothing, like what can they improve on for the PC? I assume this is for PC, not for mobile.
I think it might be a full reskin of everything, I would assume. But I do agree with you. Like the one thing that's really been, I don't want to say an issue, but something that's not great for me is you do kind of have to like pan your eyes around all the corners to get all the data you want, when they could very easily just plop it all in one place. So love to see that. But other than that, I'm fine with it as it is.
And then soon after this, that update is coming first half of October. And then soon afterwards, they will be launching the official version one of the game. The game will be officially released out of beta. They will also come with two more Underlords, a new battle pass. Season one will begin officially, which, by the way, do we know how they're going to be doing like the rank system, meaning Lords? Where am I going to end up, Swim? Am I going to be back from the beginning, or is it like back to Big Boss 1?
There's a good chance that they'll...
What would you think they would do?
I would guess it will kind of seed you. So yeah, you'll probably start at like Big Boss 1 or something like that.
Okay. I think that's
fine. Most games are doing that kind of.
Yeah. And what is City Crawl? I have no idea what this is. Have they talked about this at all?
So I don't think they've said explicitly what it is. People have been kind of putting our heads together, and I think the best guess is that it'll be some kind of like single player, maybe even roguelike-ish campaign. Like, for example, you know, Hearthstone did their Kobolds and Catacombs, which is sort of like Slay the Spire, like a sort of like single player, like draft builder. You edit your thing while you play opponents, and that just kind of continues for a run. And that seems to be what a lot of people are guessing it is.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Like a nice single player campaign with some storyline with a lot of lore that we maybe haven't visited, because like a lot of these none of these underlords are Dota heroes at all, right? And they have the option of bringing artifact lore into it as well if they want. I know a lot of people are offended by that, but they got some good.
Am I mistaken, or wasn't Anna Six or whatever her name is part of some artifact lore peripherally? I thought she was in like an artifact comic or something.
It's possible. I'm not the right person to ask, though. Slacks is the one that reads it and remembers. I don't remember any of these other than Sorlacan at this point. Let's hope the gotcha gets
without
in.
Slacks.
Pretty much. Okay, that's all the topics I have. Do you guys want to talk about anything else? Any underlords wish lists to come?
I'll throw one out there since I've been casually bring it up. Like when we're getting into Underlords and stuff, I would really love to see, I don't know if any of you guys are dorky enough to have played like D&D or anything like that.
Nope.
At any point, but you know, you have like different terrains, like different things that are hard to move through. Like I would love to see some sort of terrain modification in this game, like be able to make like certain squares like difficult, so you know, units like take a longer time to pass through them, or they get like a mischance for a little bit or something like that. And then I do agree with Swim. Like, I feel like there's a lot of cool things you could do with how you manage the, you know, the economy and the probabilities in the game to kind of make it a little bit more fun with the underlords. Like, I would love to see, like, you can even have like underlords that just like rotate through, like, oh, you know, you have a higher chance of finding warriors and then hunters and then assassins, and it just kind of cycles through, so you're like inclined to roll during certain, you know, cycles and not during other ones. But like I feel like there's so many like interesting things they could do with it. I really just hope that it doesn't predispose people too much towards certain builds. I guess that would be my one concern, but I think there's a lot of fun stuff they can do.
Swim, wish list, my friend.
I just hope that's, you know, they put in the underlords in a good way. I think that's just gonna be it, like the kind of make it or break it moment for this game. And it's like future, it's like if underlords are done right, then we could be a very, very popular and successful game.
You know, I hope they come out with Underlord the Hero at the same time to make it really awkward for everyone.
Yeah, we'll have to call him Mr. Underlord.
Yes. Mr. Underlord, he has to have a top hat and everything. I think the one thing, and this is not quite piggybacking off of Xeno, but it does remind me, you're talking about terrain modification. I want the Hearthstone, this is the one thing, it's so stupid from Hearthstone, I need it. Just click on stuff and have it do something. Like doodads or whatever, anything. Just let me click on the map, have some interaction. Like it doesn't even have to be a mini game, you know, although Hearthstone kind of is like a mini game. Like anything, please. Like, I'm begging you.
Hearthstone had some intense ones. You'd like farm like golden carrots and shit. Like a 1 in 5,000 chance or some kind of nonsense. Like people were posting screenshots on the subreddit of like 3 golden carrots. Like,
yeah, they have a lot of cool hard. Yeah, I would like something like that, honestly.
They need like the equivalent of like a fidget spinner built into the game.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to be their top priority after watching this, of course. They're going to forget about that big update and just focus on the doodads and whatnot. So, with that, I believe this comes to an end. Episode 8. God, did I get that right? Holy shit. Episode 8 of the Dota Underlords podcast. You find this on Dota Cinema. You find it live on Swim's Twitch and sunsfan.gg/podcast for the audio versions. Until next time, Suns fan Xeno and Swim signing out. Goodbye, friends.